Pesachim, Perek Yod, Mishnah Gimel, 10:3. Heveu lefanav, they bring it before him. And we're talking here, what's the it? The it is the karpas, so that's a vegetable we're going to dip. And in the event that you don't have the usual karpas, mitabel b'chazeret, you can even use your bitter herbs, what you use for maror, to do the dipping. That's what Bart Ner learns. Ad shemegila paperas hapas, and that is brought before you bring out what's going to be the paperas hapas. Now, paperas typically has one of two explanations in the Mefarshim. I mean, I'm talking globally, not just here in this Mishnah. Either paperas are things that accompany bread, so the bread is the main, but you're going to have some sort of other things that are going to accompany in terms of giving it taste and flavor, because they lived on carbohydrate, and this was sort of some supplement. And according to that shot, what we'll be talking about here is the maror. The maror is the vegetables that are eaten with the bread. Bread, of course, being here matzah. But the point is that there's a mitzvah of matzah as well as maror, and the maror accompanies it, and therefore we're talking about the preliminary dipping of a vegetable prior to the bringing of the maror, like I'll call it the mitzvah maror, if you will. The other approach in parperes is that it refers to any kind of like thin, crackery, wafery, cookie type thing, in which case parperes apas might actually refer to a strange reference indeed, but a way of putting it, but a reference to the matzah itself, which is crackery. And so the Bartanura's understanding here is actually based on a slightly different girsa. His is lefarper es apas. The word like perurim means like crumbs. So parperes here would be the farfer as opposed to breaking of the bread, a reference to the eating of the matzah, and perhaps the preliminary yachat that goes before it. So here in the Mishnah so far we have the karpas, which is all to itself. The function of the karpas is to induce the children to ask questions. Nowadays, more typically, it's the hand washing, the urchatz, if you will, the rechitz, the washing of your hands that precedes the dipping of the vegetable, which prompts the questioning because it's so strange and no bracha to be made and not eating bread, etc. But in the time of the Mishnah, people who are careful about tumah tahara would always wash their hands prior to dipping, and maybe even today that should be done. So therefore, it was the eating of a vegetable before the bringing out of the bread that was peculiar and would prompt questions, and that's sort of the focal point here. Now, the next part of the Mishnah is, well, we would say nowadays as they bring up the Seder plate. Okay, they're going to list what's, so to speak, on the Seder plate, what we would call the Seder plate today. Heviu lefanav matzah, they'd bring before him, again, the one leading the Seder, matzah. V'chazeret, chazeret is the bitter herbs, the maror. V'charoses, charoses we'll discuss more in just a second. Ushnei tavshilin, and they brought two other dishes. Now, two dishes mean there are two types of food brought out. That'd be a zecher, a reminder of the Korban Pesach and the Korban Chagiga, which would be eaten under the normal circumstances if the Beis Hamikdash were up and standing at the Leil HaSeder. Nowadays, our Seder plate includes the Zroa, this shank bone, as well as a roasted egg or boiled egg. So the egg is reminiscent of the Chagiga. Circular foods like eggs are mourning, M-O-U-R-N, mourning over loss, and the idea being that we're mourning no Beis Hamikdash, so we choose an egg as a symbol of a food that is reminiscent of some kind of mourning of loss. And the roasted shank bone is like a little piece of meat, as if it were the Korban Pesach. There are those who have the minig to eat these two tavshilin, since the minig is not to eat roasted food, so then you wouldn't be roasting your zroa, you'd be boiling it. And even if you don't eat the zroa, you roast that. Many have the custom, like the gra, to eat the egg, which is now a boiled egg, as part of the start of the Pesach Seder's the meal part of the Seder. Either way, those are what we have on the Seder plate. And now go back to the charoses. We say you have charoses, afal pi she'ein charoses mitzvah. According to Tana Kama, there's no mitzvah per se to have charoset. What charoset is, I'll define based on the Bar Tanur in just a moment. You know what it is, of course. It's what you're dipping your maror into. more on that in a moment. But the point is here that the charoset is just there, according to the Tanakhama, because you need to dip your maror in. The charoset is sweet, the maror is bitter. There are different pshatim exactly what you're trying to annul in the maror by dipping into the charoset, whether it's just the bitter taste and sort of the upset it would cause your internal system, or if it's somehow poisonous on some level, and therefore you're tempering that poison, or perhaps there's actually some, like, microorganisms, like little mini worms or something that are in there that are getting killed by the charoset. Whatever the case is, the charoset is there just as a dip to make the maror safe and palatable, according to Tanakhama. But Rabbi Eliezer bar Tzadok omer mitzvah. Rabbi Eliezer bar Tzadok says, no, it's actually a mitzvah all to itself to have a charoset at the table. According to the Rambam, at least in the Perash Mishnayos, you actually, according to him, would make a bracha al achilas charoset when you eat the charoset. Now, what is the charoset? So I'm going to give you the Bartanura's explanation because there are many, and he's our hero here. So he says charoset. So he says sha'osim mite'enim. You make the charoset from figs, beluzim. I believe those are hazelnuts. Ubatnim. In modern Hebrew, batnim are peanuts, but here it's pistachios probably. There weren't peanuts in there, Israel, I don't believe, in the time of the Mishnah. Ushkedim are almonds. Vekam mine peros, and other kinds of fruits. Umasimin ba tapuchim. Essentially, here you put in is the essential ingredient of the apples, as I'll explain. Vedakin hakol, b'maducha, you grind it all up inside a mortar. Umarvin b'chomet, you add a little vinegar, like apple cider vinegar, or maybe it's probably more likely, actually, it's like balsamic vinegar, to bring out some taste. Vinosin alea tavlin kana v'kinamon, ke'en psilas dakos aruchos zechelakash. You then also take some spices that are long and skinny, like fibrous things, like little sticks of broken off sticks of cinnamon, which will have little strips of fiber, which will be reminiscent of straw from the construction in Mitzrayim in Egypt. B'tzarach shatiya aveh, it also has to be thick, like the paste has to be thick, as a zeichel atit, to remind you of the mortar that was used over there. And according to Rabbi Eliezer bar Tzadok, it's a mitzvah because, as Bartimer brings, it's a zecher letapuach. It's a reminder, first of all, for the apple tree, shahayu yodo sham b'nehem below etzev, that they would give birth under the apple tree, as is brought down in the Gemara's and Midrashim. They'd be able to give birth to their large broods painlessly. And also, v'zecher letit, it's also reminiscent of the mortar that they used in their construction projects as slaves in Egypt.